I myself have to admit that it's more and more difficult to work around the red flags in today's world because they've changed. Being a baby boomer myself and knowing how to interview and to talk with Generation X and Y and the millennials and people who have an entirely different view of the world and actually different job habits, does make it tougher to spot some of the things that might be causing you problems. For example, we're used to looking at job hopping as not being necessarily a good thing, when in today's world, people change jobs at the younger age and often less than 2 years. So it's not necessarily a red flag, but still something that you would notice. I look at, if I'm hiring IT employees, for example, how long have you been out of work, particularly since the unemployment rate in the IT world, particularly the security piece of it, is virtually zero around the world. One might look at promotions. Have you changed jobs often just because of promotions, or have you changed jobs because you're unhappy? Are you disgruntled? Are you apt to become disgruntled? Are generally the things that that you look for? And I get a bit concerned when I hear someone say, "Well, you know, I really need this job," and then you wonder, "Well, why do you need a job so bad? Or do you have other type of pressures in your personal life that that very well could induce you into doing something that would be unethical or an unacceptable practice?"
Hoard, you're writing about the concept of red flags and the process for trying to work through them for AOL government. We have your thoughts linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. A lot of these sound like almost kind of mini background checks. Is that a fair assessment on my part?
Well, that's absolutely true, and particularly people in government going into IT jobs will probably at some stage in your career have to go through a background check. But you don't have background checks for all your jobs, and particularly a lot of jobs simply don't require that. I look at some financial people in our own organization. You know, you have to be careful on them as well as you would someone guarding your networks as well, because, you know, they send lots of money over wires, ACHs, and if you don't have the proper checks and controls in place, then someone needing money and all can do some things that that you're not going to like. By and large, the people you're hiring in our world today is pretty much like hiring tellers in your banks. You trust them to guard your money. You trust them to guard your assets. And that's, I think, is a good way to look at it.
Do you think enough hiring managers and enough IT professionals in government are thinking about it that way, are thinking about the potential power that the people that they're hiring can have over their networks and over their information, their data?
I don't think we're quite there yet. And this is one of the reasons I thought this was a timely topic to talk about. We discuss ethics with people that we're hiring, for example. Ethics is kind of a backbone of our credentialing system. All of our members are required to sign up for that. And I want to know, when I'm interviewing someone, just what their view of ethics really is. Do they have a conscience? Can you tell whether they have that? Have they ever subscribed to an ethics code, and do they really know what ethics means? I mean, I'll ask questions about what the perspectives on hacking might be. And you know, hacking is viewed very differently from the differing generations, and I need to know that when I'm hiring someone that they have an understanding that hacking and testing are kind of two different things, and then where does ethical hacking come into it? And just how do they justify doing things like that, or if they try to justify that type of actions?
I asked a couple of my friends in government about this topic when I saw your piece on AOL Government Hoard, and the response that I got from one was pretty interesting. He likened it to the lease that you sign when you rent an apartment or an office space or whatever. You can tell what the person who's renting you the space has been through in their past by what they address in their lease. And he said, if you want to know where IT professionals have been done over in the past, you can tell every nook and cranny by the process they go through to hire people.
That's correct. That's correct. And you know, if someone has a fast track history of promotions and you get into a position, you've got one and they compete, they don't get it, they're used to getting promoted, next thing you know, you could very well have a disgruntled employee on your hands. So it's good to talk about that during the interview process as to what are the expectations and their job history. So some things that may look a bit negative on a resume may turn out not to be that at all. So in summary, so much of this comes down to judgment and intuition. And I'm a baby boomer, as I say, so I have to learn to keep an open mind and think differently when I'm interviewing the younger people coming into our workforce at this point. So I sometimes get some help. I'll get someone around the age of the person I'm interviewing just to sit in and to observe, and then we'll kind of compare comparisons when it's over.